up, baby, back up. Did you forget everything?
No, babe, I have everything we need to record the podcast.
Hello! Welcome to Tay Tuesday, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about 15 from Fearless, Taylor's version.
Been on your 15, somebody tell you. So good. And today, we are discussing the song Forever and Always and Forever and Always Piano version from Fearless, Taylor's version. Forever and Always is the 11th track on Fearless, Taylor's version, and the piano version is the 16th track.
Fearless was released on November 11th, 2008, and Taylor's version was released April 9th, 2021.
Forever and Always has been played live by Taylor 133 times. Mm. It was played every night on the Fearless tour and was played once as the special song on the Reputation tour in 2018.
Ugh, lucky people.
Ugh, the luckiest. And fun fact, the first time she ever played this live was on Saturday Night Live on January 10th, 2009.
Super cool. Despite not being released as a single, Forever and Always peaked at 34 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and was certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America.
Ooh.
I love this song. Mm. So, Devin, what do you think about Forever and Always?
This is another Taylor quintessential breakup song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knows how to write them.
Yes.
It is reminiscent to me of Picture to Burn.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have a lot of the same vibe, the same style, if you will, of song. It's that, like, angry, like, sort of right after it happens kind of breakup, sort of, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like, I'm mad, and I'm going to talk about how mad I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you said you loved me, and you wouldn't let me drive your car for Picture to Burn.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't let me drive your car instead of some of her other breakup songs, which have a little bit more time and maybe they're like sadder, the sad bops or whatever. But this is just like a, I'm pissed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sing about it. You had me. You said forever and always. You didn't mean it.
Nope.
You didn't mean it. As we've gone over these couple of Fearless songs, I love the way the band is used during this era. Big fan of her musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I love the documentary Road to Fearless, where we get to watch her and her musicians on the tour and just get to play all of these awesome songs together. And you can totally tell that they like really love playing together.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that ad nauseum. I love that the first verse is in the fairy tale theme of Fearless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once upon a time, you know, like it's mm-hmm. very, it's that fairy tale thing. And then it kind of sets you up for it to be a happy song. It's like she's talking about how you said that you loved me and everything. And then, but were you just kidding?
Yeah.
You know, and then she hits you with that. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, this is a song about how she's mad at this guy
mm-hmm.
for breaking up with her. I love it. So good. I personally have not listened to the original version of this song very much. I believe that the first time I was ever introduced to it was in the car with you, like most other Taylor Swift songs.
Yes.
This is definitely a song that not Swifties don't know.
I would agree with that now. I did not know that when I was younger. I thought this was one of her biggest songs.
Oh.
Yeah, because I loved it.
Of course. Yeah. So I just remember you playing this for me for the first time, and you were like, God, this song is just so good. And like, you have to listen to this, and it's so good. And I'm like, okay, I'll listen. And then when you would sing along with it, the way that you sang the word gone,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it, but I wish I had a recording of it. It is the cutest thing. It's just the word gone. I think that it's the rhythm of it and the where it's placed in your mm-hmm. voice. It's like this really like gone. It's like really, really cute. I remember when we played that for the first time in the car for me, you sang it. I was like, oh, wow, this is adorable. She loves this song. You know, but the song itself is great. The lyrics are great. It is just a classic country rock song.
Mm-hmm.
But the piano version. Mm. The piano version on Taylor's version hits so hard, and it is so hauntingly beautiful, and it is just such a contrast to the original version. It feels like two completely different songs.
Yeah.
And love that she had our guy, Mr. Paul Sidoti, playing mm-hmm. the piano for it. It's raw. It's visceral. Anytime she sings any of her songs on piano or just like acoustically with piano, like mm-hmm. it just hits so differently. Mm-hmm. And this song especially. And I mean, I didn't even know that there was a piano version really until... A, we started going through this, mm-hmm. and I never even listened to it really before, but on Taylor's version, I've listened to it, like, a bunch.
Yeah.
Because it is just so good, and yeah. just her maturity in her voice now, and the way that she's able to bring those emotions out, it's just, it's heartbreaking, and it is so yeah. good. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Great song, and I very much... appreciate that you introduced it to me.
Yes.
In the car. How about you? What do you think of Forever and Always?
Well, as you've already alluded to, I love Forever and Always. And this is one of my first ever Taylor songs I knew and loved. And I still love it today.
Yeah.
I think this was truly one of Taylor's first songs about an ex that we knew who it was. So a lot of her songs in debut were about someone from home or high school. Mm-hmm. And like, we might know their name or may have seen a picture of them or something. Mm-hmm. We didn't know who they were in terms of like the public sphere, sure. public lexicon. So this was the first song where Taylor is ever linked to another celebrity. And we understand who the song is about from an outside perspective.
Right. We're going to get into it in Gossip Gap.
Yes, which we'll discuss in Gossip Gap. But that was so exciting yeah. for me as a teenage girl. Like,
To know
and to be able to connect and understand and like kind of follow the through line of how the relationship went. Mm. It just made it feel more connected. And I think that the reason this song charted, despite not being a single, is because of that. Mm. And because people were very interested and wanted to know more.
Interesting.
So I think that kind of started like the internet's love affair with decoding all of Taylor's songs and who we think they're about, which, you know, over the years has gotten a little out of hand and a lot of times isn't who we think they're about. Mm. And Taylor does or doesn't confirm certain things. But I think this was like the first big song that really did that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cause she was doing the hidden messages, which right. like led us to want to decode things. But then once we started knowing who she was dating and it was more public and she became so much bigger of a celebrity, mm. that's when it really became a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And anytime you Google one of her songs, if you Google the song and meaning, there's like 10 articles of different places. Like, what does this song mean for Taylor Swift? Or decoding Ooh. This album of like, almost all of her songs yeah. post this time.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing with Taylor as we go along in her, you know, mm-hmm. discography.
Yeah.
For me, what I love, you kind of touched on, how it comes towards the end of this album, which, you know, a lot of this album is about fairy tales and love and falling in love. And, you know, it's also about other things. But I love how this turns the fairy tale on its head.
Yeah.
You know, that whole, that once upon a time start is perfect for this, like, angry song.
Yeah.
And it's just like a spinning song. Like, she just gets it out and yeah. it drives. And I yeah. love that. I also, you know, I've mentioned this before, but I love when there's like conversational moments in mm-hmm. her songs. So I love the, were you just kidding? Like, it's like, yes, I feel that. Yeah. And for like, sure. you truly feel her emotions as you sing along to it. And I love that. Like, you can feel how angry she is. You can feel how hurt she is. Like, it all comes across in the song. And I like how it's a fairly short song. It's just like, she was like, we're going in, we're recording it, getting it out, you know? Right. I will say that I do think that this is one of the songs where the distance and maturity, though it, you know, it sounds very similar and just as good, the immaturity of Taylor in the original version mm. is a little bit more raw and a little bit more angry. Ooh, and because we know yeah. she recorded it so soon after that breakup,
yeah,
you can feel that yeah. in the original version. I don't like listening to the stolen songs, so I don't. And I still love the Taylor's version of it. But I like the, like, raw teenage heartbreak anger mm, a mm-hmm, lot. Mm-hmm. I think because I can connect to it.
Sure.
I have to admit that I definitely slept on the piano version until Fearless Taylor's version
yeah.
came out. that song benefited from the maturity in Taylor's voice. And the re-record is epic. Like, it is so beautiful. And as you mentioned, and we learned from Paul Sidoti's Instagram, on Fearless Taylor's version release day, he played the piano on the ballad of Forever and Always, and he called it a personal highlight, which is super cute. And, you know, we stand Paul Sidoti and his loyalty to Taylor all these years.
Love Paul.
I think that the song, like, definitely benefits from Taylor's more mature, older voice. I also think her voice is more forward in the piano version than in the original piano version.
Yeah.
And then the harmonies are just so beautiful on the chorus and the bridge, especially the bridge when they start like back up and there are like all the different layers to it.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And that was in the original too, but there's just something about the more mature voice that it just is. It sounds just amazing.
Yeah, it's fuller.
Yeah.
It's stronger, fuller, yeah.
Yeah, and like that song on Taylor's version, it's just so heartbreaking, and you're there with her. Her voice seems so close to you. It's very raw, and it gives the song such a different effect. So you have this breakup song that's angry in the rock version, and then on the piano version has this like sadness to it. And I remembered feeling that, you know, with the original album, with the original track, like I could feel those differences, but I didn't really get the piano version. And now this updated piano version is
just, chef's kiss.
Yeah, chef's kiss. Absolutely. Gorgeous, heartbreaking song.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And it's very different from the other version. Like there's more of a contrast, I think,
too.
Oh,
yeah.
Which I really like.
It's like if this song was in a musical, Forever and Always would be like the original version of it. Mm-hmm. And then Forever and Always piano version would be the reprise.
That's so accurate.
Yeah.
I love that.
In Aida, when she sings My Strongest Suit, the first time she sings it, it's, you know, My Strongest Suit, and then there's the reprise, and she's singing it, and it's really sad because Radames doesn't want to marry her.
Yeah.
He wants to marry Aida.
That's a very deep cut musical theater reference, because I think a lot of our fans might not have been alive when Aida was on Broadway, but it was a very good show.
Well, I mean, yeah, Adam Pascal fans here all the way, 100%.
Yes, we are. Devin, do you relate to Forever and Always?
I cannot personally relate to this song. An experience like this has never happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had an experience where somebody has told me Forever and Always and then been like, psych! I'm out of here.
Lucky you. Yeah,
but I absolutely know that this is a wildly relatable song if you have gone through a time like this in a relationship and breakup like this. Like, I can totally understand that this song resonates deeply with a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And luckily, I have not dealt with that.
That's good.
You know, like, I feel very fortunate that that was never a part of my relationship experience. However, the only time I have ever said Forever and Always has been to you. And I mean that. And, like, we're getting married, and that's we're definitely Forever legal, and Always.
Legally, you know? Binding.
So, this song captures the pain and anger that a breakup like this would incite. And I also feel like this song is very stream of consciousness.
Yes.
And that, obviously, she wrote it very quickly and went into the recordings, which you'll talk about in Gossip Gab.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's stream of consciousness. She's just getting out all of the stuff. And that's relatable, too. Like, when I'm, you know, upset or something, stream of consciousness just like happens.
Like pours out.
It just is just like, why are you doing this to me? I can't believe it. You hurt me so bad. Like, I don't like this. How about you? Do you relate?
I mean, you know I do.
Yeah.
Okay, full disclosure, guys. This song was on my breakup playlist. So obviously, I find this song wildly relatable to my past heartbreaks.
Yep.
I do. There are lots of different emotions and phases that come with heartbreaks, and one that I found could be very healing, especially for those who don't experience the emotion very often, is the anger phase. That was a very important phase for me during breakups.
Sure.
The original version of this song is absolutely perfect to angry jam to.
Oh, so good.
Like, it is. You just get it all out. Like, you can feel those emotions, like, flying out of Taylor. And then if you sing along to it, they're flying out of you. And I love it. Is that a weird way to say it?
No.
You're laughing at me.
They're flying out of you.
Yeah, guys, I'm making hand gestures as I'm saying this. Gestures. It's very theatrical.
Yeah.
I truly love the anger as Taylor sings the part where you said forever and always, you didn't mean it, baby.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. I love that part. you took it back, so you didn't mean it.
Nope.
Unfortunately, I can absolutely relate to that. Unfortunately, I had exes who idealistically promised forever when that was really something that they couldn't promise to me. Mm. So, you know, I'm someone who has never known what it means to fall out of love. So I have zero clue what that feels like. I've only ever been broken up with where I was forced to move on.
Yeah.
And I did. So I don't really understand the mentality of telling someone forever if you don't truly mean it.
Yeah.
And I think that obviously no one can truly promise like anything. I always think of that line in 500 Days of Summer where she's like, I can't give you that. No one can.
Yeah.
But there is more of a sense of security that you can give and like emotions you should share only if you truly feel and mean them.
Sure.
And you shouldn't talk about marriage with someone if you don't mean it. It just messes with the person.
Yeah, that's
not
messed
nice.
Up.
It's just not nice to do.
All of the other things aside, if you're talking about like marriage, like if you're talking about forever and you don't mean it, that's not okay.
Yeah, and it just makes things harder. And I like when I was young, I unfortunately thought like no matter what relationship you're in, you were supposed to fight for it. And like I had a therapist actually tell me, you know, Gab, like you're not married and like you don't have to make all these relationships work just because you're in them.
Yeah.
Which actually became very helpful after the fact.
Yeah.
But it also has shown me what mature love is, which is, you know, what we have found. And also that like we're promising forever to each other, but we're promising to forever work on it together and to communicate through the hard times and to like make that promise with each other.
Right.
And so it's completely different when you're in that mature state where you can really like understand it in a different way and also understand that like we're going to fight for it because we're choosing to.
Right.
But back to the song, it's definitely a betrayal when a promise like that gets broken.
For
and when
sure.
you get your heart broken when someone gave you lots of false promises.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts a lot. So I think that this was one of the like major first songs of Taylor's where I felt like she understood exactly how I felt and was speaking my feelings out.
Sure.
You know, I had listened to a bunch of her other songs and really liked them, but I didn't relate directly to them. You know, a lot of stuff from debut.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard this song is when I think I like fell in love with Taylor. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, she is me. Like she gets what this feels like. And I especially relate to the line, and I stare at the phone, he still hasn't called, and then you feel so low, you can feel nothing at all.
Mm.
I remember being in my childhood bedroom and just like feeling very desperate for my boyfriend to just call me and just want to speak to me, like, and just at all. And I had this unfortunate ringtone for him that was from this band called Nada Surf. They had a song on the OC, and I knew, like, two of their songs. They're not bad, but, like, obviously I can't listen to this song really anymore, but, like, it was, like, scary how much I would hope to hear that song via the ringtone. Like, I was just so desperate and wanting him to want to talk to me that, like, I would just, like, be hoping that I would hear that ringtone. And if I heard it, like, across the house, I'd go, like, running for it. Like, just, like, it's just, like, the whole you feel so low. Like, I've never felt that, like, desperate and low and, like, wanting. And I just remember, like, being upset that, like, he wasn't calling and, like, throwing my phone across the room and things that come up in other future Taylor songs. And I think I'd never felt more low and taken for granted than in those moments. And, like, Taylor really got it.
Yeah.
And she really wrote it in this song.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this is a big, like, real start of Taylor understanding teenage Gab.
Understanding Gab.
Yeah.
and just like she wrote all of these songs for you.
Yeah. And like for, you know, millions of other people like
her. Like me.
Exactly.
Yeah. She basically wrote Fearless for Gab. For teenage Gab.
I wouldn't say the whole album. There's like a lot that it doesn't connect
with
me. But this song does for sure.
For sure. Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
So we have two hidden messages, one for Forever and Always, and then one for the piano version.
Ooh.
So the hidden message in Forever and Always was, if you play these games, we're both going to lose.
Ooh.
Ooh. And then the piano version is, still miss who I thought he was.
Oh, yeah. So it is a little bit more reflective.
Mm-hmm. And it takes on a different vibe.
Interesting.
Even in the hidden message.
Yeah.
Which is great and so juicy.
Ooh.
So, as a lot of listeners know, and some will learn here, Taylor confirmed in an interview with Ellen DeGeneres on the day that Fearless was released that Forever and Always was about Joe Jonas and that they were no longer together. This was the first confirmation that they had broken up at this time. It hadn't been made public.
Wow.
For those who don't know Joe Jonas, he's one of the Jonas Brothers, and they were, you know, huge in the mid-2000s.
And they're huge and they're big now.
So a lot of people probably know the Jonas Brothers. And Taylor and Joe have, like, this long history that we're going to cover, and we've covered in a couple other songs already.
Yeah. I am turning into a Joe bro. Like, 100%.
I don't think they call their fans the Joe Bros. They're the Joe Bros.
Well, I am a Joe Bro of the Joe Bros.
You're a Joe Bro Bro.
I'm a Joe Bro Bro.
Yeah.
I am slowly figuring that out about myself.
And I, like many teenage girls my age, did go to see the Jonas Brothers when I was 16, I think. Mm. Yes. They were fantastic. So we're going to go back to when Fearless was released in 2008 and Taylor was on the Ellen DeGeneres show confirming her and Joe had broken up and that this song was about that.
Mm.
She revealed some details about how Joe broke up with her during this interview. And she said, "You know what? It's like when I find that person that is right for me, he'll be wonderful. And when I look at that person, I'm not even going to be able to remember the boy who broke up with me over the phone in 25 seconds when I was 18.
Oh!
And so the crowd obviously went wild over this because this is like ultimate tea. This is a lot of tea. She's sharing a lot of dirt here.
Oh.
And then millions of people saw this interview. And, like, this was, like, I would call this peak 18-year-old Petty Taylor.
Yeah.
And as a teen myself at the time, I was here for it. I was like, bury him.
Bury. He doesn't deserve you.
I think years later, Taylor's like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe I said that. But she was 18, you know? I mean, and she was hurt. And that's how she felt. Also, not nice to break up with someone in that way.
No, not nice.
But she really called him out on national TV for millions of people.
Yikes.
She says later in the interview that she looked down at her phone log and it was a 27-second phone call. Oh. So in some things, people reference it 27, 25. She said both in the interview. So you can say what you will. I always remembered it as a 27-second phone call.
Okay.
It's both.
It's both.
And then there was the infamous video of the Joe Jonas Barbie, where Taylor points to a phone prop that, like, came with the Barbie and says, "See, this one comes with a phone so it can break up with other dolls." Yes.
Ooh.
And then she has, I think it's a Taylor doll or looks like Taylor. And it's like, "Stay far away from this one." And she, like, put that up on the internet.
Oh, wow. Oh, we talked about that in the Dear John episode.
Yeah, we talked about it with Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of anger and emotions that came out of that breakup. About the song, Taylor told the Los Angeles Times in 2008, "It's about watching somebody fade away in a relationship. They said they were going to be with you forever, that they loved you, and then something changed in the relationship, and you don't know what it is, but you're watching them slowly drift. That emotion of rejection for me usually starts out sad and then gets mad. Mm. This song starts with this pretty melody that's easy to sing along with. Then in the end, I'm basically screaming it because I'm so mad." I'm really proud of that. And, like, yes, that is what happens. And also, I totally relate to that feeling too, of that, like, that watching that person pull away from you and those emotions you go through. In an interview with Rolling Stone, Taylor described the fallout of the relationship with Joe as a really dramatic and crazy experience that she needed to address through her music.
Wow.
So she needed the music to have that cathartic experience. Taylor wrote this song right at the end of the recording process for Fearless. She had to plead with her manager, Scott Borchetta, to let her add it to the album a day before the final version was due to be turned in.
Oh, wow.
So she, like, this all happened. She got it out in the studio, and she had to beg. She's like, "This song has to be on this album."
Wow.
And I'm very glad that she fought for it and won.
Yeah.
And then in the June 2009 issue of 17 Magazine, Joe Jonas told them that he wasn't bothered about Taylor writing about their breakup. He said, "It's flattering. It's always nice to hear their side of the story." And, like, boy, would she fully flesh that breakup out with many other songs also written about Joe and that experience.
Wow.
Including, you know, Vault songs that were recently released, Mr. Perfectly Fine, Don't You, that didn't end up on Fearless.
Right.
You know, so she begged and got Forever and Always on there, but those other songs that were about the same experience didn't end up on the album. Many songs as we go through Speak Now and Red, and he even gets a little mention on Folklore. She tells her whole side of the story, and she gets a lot of it out, and it changes over the years, too.
Yeah.
And we've covered, I think, one Joe song. Don't You. We covered Don't You.
Yeah.
There's a lot to come.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor's performance of Forever and Always on the Fearless tour was completely iconic.
Oh, yeah.
It starts with a video of this infamous interview between Hoda and Taylor where they're sitting in these red armchairs and Taylor's wearing this, like, red sequin dress, like, sparkly red dress. And Hoda asks, if you are naming the guys you date in your songs, why do you think any guy is going to want to date you? And to that, Taylor famously replies, well, I guess in that situation, I just figure if guys don't want me to write bad songs about them, then they shouldn't do bad things.
Yeah.
And in the tour, so they show this clip.
Yeah.
And then immediately Taylor rises out of the floor with, like, you know, another one of her dancers in these red armchairs wearing that red sequin dress, and Forever and Always just immediately starts playing Once Upon a Time. Like, the video goes out and it goes.
And she throws the armchair.
Yeah. So during the performance, she throws the armchair.
Yeah.
And it's just so amazing. And it's just one of those moments where Taylor is, like, showing her fans, like, I will get the last word. I will tell you how I feel.
Yeah.
And, like, I will use things that you will be able to connect to and understand my music and my life.
For sure.
And so we, like, that interview, that's a ridiculous question to ask someone.
So stupid. And she gets asked questions like that all the time.
All the time.
So dumb.
And there's a lot of, throughout her career, a lot of misogyny and questions that are asked like that.
But even asked from other women.
Oh, of course, because it's ingrained in all of society.
Yeah.
You know, women can be misogynists, too.
Mm.
A lot are,
mm.
even if they don't think they are.
Oh.
It's just the anger in it and then the throwing of the chair, because it's this layers of the breakup and what that song means to her, but then also layers of the sexism.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I'm not going to write a bad song about you if you're not an asshole who breaks up with me like that. And it's just, like, it's a great performance. She's so angry. She's, like, flipping her hair around like she did during that tour a ton, during Speak Now a ton, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, one of her more theatrical performances. And, like, I feel like we don't discuss it enough, and it's so good.
It's pretty good.
It's so funny because it's so iconic that I actually thought I saw that live. I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I was like, I definitely saw her perform that song. I didn't.
No.
But it's just so good. It's such a fantastic performance.
Mm.
Devin,
mm.
what's your favorite line from Forever and Always?
There are a lot of good ones in here. There are a lot of good ones. So I picked, did I say something way too honest, made you run and hide like a scared little boy?
Oh, such a good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, really, really good. I mean, there's not much to it, except that it is just like, oh, it's scathing.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is scathing. And also, like, I love that. Did I say something way too honest? Like, did my honesty scare you away?
Yeah.
Because I definitely felt that growing up, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like, wow, I'm like, trying to face the issues with you. Is that not okay? Is that scary to you?
Or
facing,
like,
things head on?
Or revealing how you actually feel. Like, showing how much you care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. How about you? What's your favorite line?
My favorite line is, so here's to everything coming down to nothing. Here's to silence that cuts me to the core.
Mm.
So good. That part is so good. When, like, the way it's performed musically. Oh, it's so
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It cuts me to the core. It's so good. Like, even it's the part, like, after, where is this going? Yeah. Oh. And, like, I love the way this song goes. Like, it moves fast, and then the parts where it slows or where it goes and moves backward. Like, I just love how it all works together. And then, like, I love that. Silence that cuts me to the core. Mm. And that will come up again in Story of Us, the idea of silence being so loud. And I just...
One of my faves.
Yeah, silence can be something that's very painful.
Oh, yeah.
And everything coming down to nothing. Like, in those words, she just gets it completely. I love her.
Oh, God, so good.
So, Devin, from 1 to 10, times that it rains in your bedroom.
Oh, no.
Which is a great... I know, you hate rain.
I hate rain.
Great imagery, though. It rains in your bedroom. It rains when you're here, it rains when you're gone.
Yeah.
What would you give this song?
This is like a combination of Fearless and Coming with the Rain.
You've made a lot of Coming with the Rain references recently. Well, there's a lot of rain motifs in this entire album.
Yeah,
That's three songs with rain just from Fearless, this album. Yeah. And there's, I'm sure, more. We just didn't count them.
Yeah. The rating, I don't really want any time for it to rain in my bedroom, but... But in terms of the rating, I think I'll give it 8.
Oh, nice.
8 times it rains in your bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah. Not in my top 20. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's a bop. I don't have nostalgia factor with it. It's a more recent song for me. Mm-hmm. So it's great. Yeah. I really like it, though.
And you prefer the piano version.
I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So maybe the piano version would be like an 8.5.
Okay. Okay.
A little higher.
Nice.
I'm playing the piano with my hand. Yes. You can't see it, but I am.
Yes.
Gab, from 1 to 10 times it rains in your bedroom, what would you give this song?
I am going to give Forever and Always a 10 because I love the song. I really connect to it. I kind of had forgotten how much I connect to it. You know, digging up a lot of old emotions and whatnot, thinking about the song, reading the lyrics, listening to it a bunch. It's not in my top 20 just because I think Taylor has written a lot of better songs since, but because of how much I love this song, I gotta rate it at the top. Like, there's certain nostalgic songs that hit that top, you know, 30 to 40 for me, and this song, I mean, this song might be in the top 30, I think, for me, because I just, like, really feel it, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at Tay to Z Podcast and give us all your thoughts.
All of them.
Do you love this song? Do you relate to this song? Which version do you prefer? Piano version or the original version?
Oh.
Do you agree that Taylor's version is the superior piano version?
Oh.
We want to hear it all. So share your thoughts with us on Instagram. Be sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to this right now. And leave us a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Oh.
That's really the best way you can help us right now.
Absolutely.
Be sure to keep tabs on the Instagram as we're going to be announcing some exciting new stuff in the weeks to come.
Yes.
For the pod.
For the pod. Stuff's happening.
Stuff is happening.
Well, next week, we get into the G's. There are only 4 F's. Short and sweet.
Good F's, though.
Great F's. Letter. And we're on to the G's with one of my faves.
Yes.
Getaway Car from Reputation.
Yes. G is one of my favorite letters. Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.